When everyone thinks Auburn basketball is slacking, they go out and drop 106 points in a quad one game. Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast. And guess what, guys? We're here to talk about Auburn getting off in someone again, dominating Ole Miss, 106-76, a 30-point just destruction of the Ole Miss Rebels as they close out this three-game homestand in just pure dominant fashion. We're going to talk about the game, some things that happened during the game that I've never seen before that were absolutely hilarious and awesome. And then, hey, Janai may be sneaking into the player of the year conversation. We'll talk about that all in just a second. But before we do that, you know, we got to give a shout out to Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. Go to UncleKeith'sRedSauce.com. Use coupon code BARN25 to take 25% off your order. That coupon code's only good for the rest of the month. So if you want to try it, now's the time to do it. We're still going to be talking about Uncle Keith's Red Sauce after that. We're not sure if there's going to be what kind of promotion is going to be for the month of March. So if you want to take advantage of the 25% off, you need to do it now. The Southern style flavored salsa, an Auburn family, locally made, locally shipped. And hey, no additives, no preservatives, just really good flavor. You got a mild, you got a spicy. Zep loves the spicy. I love the spicy. I call it the red top. The red top can't stop. That needs to be a new slogan. Keith, take note of that. That might need to be a new slogan to put on the red top. But hey, if you want Publix across the state of Alabama, Piggly Wiggly's in Birmingham, anywhere, just about anywhere you can find it. But if you can't find your local grocery store, definitely check it out on the website, UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. It's good, y'all. Guys, what a game. This is just what we needed. This was just what everybody needed. We needed it a little bit to calm the nerves. Played some games. I mean, my gosh, at this point in time, we're splitting hairs. We're winning games by not enough to make us feel good. We were just winning games. We're winning games, but just not winning games by enough to make us. Maybe we're slumping. You know, we only beat the last. I don't even remember. We just dominate these children, and I can't even remember who we play. We only beat Georgia by 12. What's the deal? This team's falling apart. They go out tonight and obviously win by 30. Dropped a dollar on them. When I was in high school, we had a guy. He's kind of a legend at my high school. And whenever we go, we had a really good girls basketball team. And whenever, right before the game would start, they would score 100 points. No joke. Like they were legit. Win state championships. They were so good. The girl in my class was phenomenal. But every time we walk into the gym, the girls will play before the boys. So you get there, watch the girls' game, then watch the boys' game. You all walk in, and this guy I'm talking about, he'd say, they're going to drop a dollar on them tonight. They're going to drop a dollar on them. And, well, Auburn, I mean, they're going to score 100 points. Auburn dropped a dollar and some change on Ole Miss, and it was fun to watch. Imagine you're Ole Miss, okay? You come into Neville. You know it's tough. You're playing – you're playing the best Auburn team of all time. You're playing one of the best, I mean, based off of strength of schedule and the record and the margins of victory, you're playing one of the best teams of all time. I mean, let's just be honest. I know the season's not over, but you're playing one of the better teams up to this point of all time. You come out red freaking hot. I think you hit your first four shots, maybe like six out of your first seven. Just on fire, can't miss, score 40 points and a half against Auburn's defense. I mean, they're only giving up like 68 points a game or less or something like that. And you score 40 and a half, again, come out red hot, and you look over the scoreboard and you're down 10. You're down 10. You hit your first four shots. Auburn hit their first six shots in a row, including three threes. That's just the kind of night it was. Ole Miss would hit a three. Auburn would go on a 7-point run. And then in the second half, the dam just broke. And Auburn just absolutely demolished them in the second half. It was such a fun game to watch. Again, so the way it worked, the game flow, it was close at the very beginning because Ole Miss came out hot again and hit their first, their first four shots in a row. And I think they hit their first like 5 of 7 or 6 of 7 or something like that. Auburn, though, answered every single time. Three after three after three, hit 11 threes in the game. Closed to the first half. After the first half, I think they were up by 10. And then Broome kind of started to take over a little bit more. He scored 12 points in the first half. And he ended up with 24. So he scored 12 in the second half too. But he just started driving to the hole, and there was nothing they could do about it. He was hitting free throws too. He was getting to the line. You know, the last couple of games, he's starting to kind of get the calls that you would expect him to get. And I think that's because he's decided, I need to get to the rack. I need to get downhill. And that lends more so than hit turnaround fadeaways. That lends itself to more contact. That lends itself to getting to more to the line. That's why he shot, I believe, 23 free throws in the last two games. He just happened to hit 10 of them. He was 8 of 8 at one time. I said, somebody tell me at halftime, he was 8 of 8 from the line. So I was like, somebody make sure I'm reading this correctly. It says Janai is 8 of 8 from the line. There's no way that's correct. But it was correct. It was just one of those games. And then, like I said, the second half, it was just over. Auburn had one of their better shooting nights of the season. Again, I said they went 11 for 21 for 52% from three, which is elite level shooting. I mean, you had Denver went 2 of 5 from the line. Chad went 4 of 5 and he hit two. And I got a story about one of them here in just a second. He hit two back to back late in the second half or middle to late in the second half. And you're just like, geez, they're going to. I think maybe one of his threes. Maybe it wasn't. No, it wasn't his. It was Ja'Kai Howard's that took us over 100 points. One of his threes was just incredible. Miles Kelly went 3 of 5. He was hot early, 3 of 5 from three. And then Ja'Kai Howard comes in and says, I don't care what happens. I'm shooting the daggum ball. I ain't got to play. I'm shooting the ball. He took two threes. One of them was from Lochipoca. And just drill. There was no chance either one of them was touching rim. All nylon, just elite level shooting. And then overall, Auburn shot right at 60% from the field. And then 81% from the line. I mean, one of the best shooting nights I can remember. I mean, 106 points in college basketball is not easy. I mean, everybody just fawned over Alabama scoring 111, and they hit 22 threes, if I'm not mistaken. It was over 20 threes to get to 111. Auburn only hit 11, and they scored 106. Ah, golly, just incredible. Janai was one rebound shy of another double-double, probably cost him player of the year. No, I'm kidding. Actually, we'll talk about that in just a minute. I may be wrong on something when talking about him with player of the year. So Janai had 24 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, couple of really, really pretty assists. His vision and his ability to pass as a big man, I believe that may be making him more money than his offensive game. I really do. Him becoming a multi-tool guy, I think that at the next level, I think that may be making him just as much money as his post game, his inside game. Chad Baker, holy cow. It was not sad Chad. It was not bad Chad last night. It was rad Chad. Last night was rad Chad. He was happy. He was talking. He was shooting. He was making. He did miss 2 free throws, which is, that sound the alarm. 8 of 12 from the field, 22 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks. That's pretty rare for him. Played really good defense. What a guy. What a guy. What a guy that Chad. You had five guys in double figures. Miles Kelly had 13. Chaney Johnson had 13. Denver, my man. If Denver scores in double digits, go home. Go home. If Denver, once Denver gets to double digits in the game, call timeout and go get off the court, go by the concession stand, get you a nice little combo meal, and head to the showers because it's over. If he gets to double digits, forget it. We can win without him getting to double digits, but if he gets to double digits, forget about it. You're a beat. You know what? It's BTA. If Denver scores double digits, it's BTA for sure. Some funny stuff happened during the game last night. I got to share that I think y'all are really going to enjoy. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to Roback.com. Use coupon code BUTTON20 for 20% off your order. Auburn licensed apparel. I absolutely love it. I have the Auburn blue navy quarter zip that I love. I got the polo that's got the Aubie heads all over it. They got really good collars. You know how I am about collars. That's why I go with the top button. They're very top button friendly. So if you want to go top button, they're very top button friendly. Just really good feeling material. And they got a little bit of something for everybody. They got the prints, the solids, the stripes. If you want to go zany, you can. If you want to go traditional, you can. Good pants, shorts, slacks, hoodies, pullovers, all that good stuff. You can check them out. Roback.com. Some funny things happened in the game last night that I've never seen before. There was a possession where Janai got the ball, and I guess the defender had bumped Janai's wristband into a very uncomfortable position. Okay. So in the middle of a possession, Janai has the ball with his back to the defender. Janai pulls off his wristband, throws it into the stands, and then immediately, like it was like he planned it, he threw a souvenir to the children in the stands and then did like a spin move and took this guy straight to the rack and scored. It was the funniest thing. They talked about it. They'll show replays of that on ESPN. I mean, legitimately. I mean, the guy's defending him, and he's taking off his wristband. Like, he could have reached around. I don't know. It was so funny. I laughed so hard when that happened. Taking off your wristband, throwing a souvenir to the fans in the middle of a possession, not in a timeout. We're talking about they're actually playing the game of basketball when he does this. And then immediately, as if it was planned, as soon as he lets it go, it's like, boop, boop, and I spin move, and I'm going to the hole. Left-hand layup. Fantastic. Just fantastic stuff. That's the kind of game he was having. His driving to the basket the last two games, he's feeling it. He's feeling healthy. That ankle's feeling good because there feels like there's a little bit of extra explosion. You're seeing him drive and dunk more, which for several games, I don't think that was really – he didn't feel comfortable doing that. You're seeing him go through contact. Hence, 23 free throws attempted in the last two games. And you're seeing him feel comfortable enough to throw souvenirs into the stands. It's unbelievable. That was number one that I just thought was hilarious. I've never seen this before either. The closest to me, Samir shot a three one time and kind of threw his hands up before it went in. And I thought that was really cool. But I've never seen this before. Chad had just driven down and hit a three. The next possession, he goes to the exact same spot. The exact same spot, and he's got a guy on him, and he does a little jab step, step back, releases the ball, and then jumps and does a 360 after he releases the ball while he's talking to the fans. But the good thing, it wasn't the opposing team's bench, so there was no technical in play. It was the student section. So he was on the student section side. He literally releases the ball, and as he comes down, he jumps and does a 360, and he's talking to the fans. And he did all of that before the ball went into the net, it seemed like. It seemed like he released it, did that whole deal, and then started running back down the court, and then the ball goes in the hoop. Like he called it. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you shoot it and you call it, like it's going in. The funniest thing I've ever seen. It was absolutely hilarious. I laughed my tail off when he did that. That's Rad Chad. We don't need Sad Chad. We don't need Mad Chad. We don't need Bad Chad. We need Glad Chad and Rad Chad. Those are the if it's Glad Chad or Rad Chad, we're fired up. And I think last night was Rad Chad for sure. And then Charles Barkley. Oh my God. I know some people didn't like it. I know some people were frustrated and it talked for a long time. And he maybe had a few glasses of Redmont vodka when he was on, but he said some of the funniest things I think I've ever heard. I mean, I laughed so hard. They were asking him about Buc-ee's, the Buc-ee's in Leeds. And he said, I've probably been there 20 times and never gone inside. And he was having a really hard time getting this story out, but I'm summarizing it for you. I've been there probably 20 times. I get gas and then just turn around and leave. I can't go inside because it's just packed. And he said, they're like, why don't you go in if it's packed? He goes, because for some reason, when I go places, people think I want to talk to them. I can't go nowhere. I can't go nowhere because when I go places, people think I'm coming there to talk to them, which is so Charles Barkley. I don't want to be a role model, Charles Barkley, that could ever be. I laughed my tail off, and they kind of kept pressing on. He's like, yeah, man. He goes, I mean, I'll be in the grocery store, and they'll say, hey, Charles, what are you doing here? He said, I'm doing the same damn thing you're doing. What do you think I'm doing here? I'm getting groceries. He was in the cups a little bit, and it was classic. You got to love moments like that. Like, you got to respect, like, you can't just be a stick in the mud. Like, you got to, I know it was long, and I know Auburn was going on a tear on offense. And while he was on the screen is whenever Auburn was going, you know, going completely crazy on offense and the defensive side of the ball. Oh, but you just got to embrace it, man. He's a legend. I love it every time he comes. And you know he's going to have a classic line when you give him a microphone. And last night, he was great. A little long-winded at times. He said, let me tell you something, a bunch. That's how he would start off every story. Let me tell you something. It was hilarious. I was happy he was there. I feel like we play good in front of Charles every time he's there. I made that up just now. I don't even know if I can support that with facts. I may just be literally thinking of last night. But it was a fun game. Fun game. Auburn moves to shoot. They've only lost one. They've only lost one SEC game. You have a two-game lead on Alabama. Technically you have a two-game lead, one-game cushion to having a solo championship. You could lose two and still share the regular season title with them. You go to Kentucky. You go to Texas A&M. Texas A&M just got beat by Vanderbilt on their own floor. Feel really good that Auburn can go 2-1 over these last three games. Honestly, I feel like they can go 3-0. Kentucky plays god-awful defense. Auburn should be able to feast offensively, but Kentucky can score. So it'll be, can Auburn just score with them, basically? They're not going to play good defense, but the shot's got to fall. You still got to get shots. That shot's still got to fall. And I'm sure they'll play amped up a little bit because it's the number one team in the history of the world coming in. So that one's going to be a tough one Saturday, and hopefully we can break the curse and win in Rupp for the first time, like, since – the Nixon administration. That'd be a lot of fun. So hopefully we can pull that one off and win. So Janai, I may be wrong on my take on the possibility of Janai winning player of the year. I believe on FanDuel last night, he edged into the lead for the first time to win as far as being a betting favorite. Obviously, Cooper Flags held held that title for the whole year. He's basically going to be player of the year from the beginning. And according to FanDuel now, Janai has opened up a big lead. He's minus 250. Basically, he's over 2.5. He's like 2.5 times more likely to win the tie to win player of the year right now over Cooper. And I never expected that to happen. I mean, 24-9 is good, but it's not like he didn't just go 31-14 the night before, the game before, and he was not, you know, he did not jump Cooper. He is having a phenomenal season, and I think it's a real possibility now. I think it's a real possibility he could win player of the year if he can keep this pace up. He's got three more games, two tough road games. If he can show out on those, beat Alabama at home, who cares about the SEC tournament? Have a really good first two games because the voting ends after the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. He may win it. That would be so awesome if he could pull that off. So we'll see what happens. He is currently the betting favorite to win player of the year. I was wrong, and I apologize to those that I said had anointed Cooper player of the year. So we'll still see. This is just betting odds. This is not what the writers and the voters will do. But the betting odds are typically pretty good. So a pretty good indicator. So we'll see what happens. But guys, another great win. We'll be back again talking about the game this weekend. Maybe get Zep on before the end of the week. We'll see if our schedules line up. It's a lot of fun. I can't wait to get his reaction on this. I really appreciate it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Hey, if you need a real estate agent, if you're moving to the area, if you're moving to the Auburn Opelika area, if you're moving out of the Auburn Opelika area, you need to buy a house, you need to sell a house, or you're looking for an investment, I got some cool investment stuff coming up pretty soon that I think will be of huge interest. Can't talk about it yet, but if you're curious, hit me up at krush@thekeyagency.realestate. I'd love to help you out. Love to help help your family find their dream home. You know, help you sell one. Help you get off one if you need to. So, give me a shout. Just the Key Agency, krush@thekeyagency.realestate. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.